All rise. Court remains in session. Master Commissioner Greg Matthews presiding.
Please be seated. The next case this morning is case number 2015-288, Alex Schutz versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. Mr. Morton.
Here I am, sir.
Good morning, Your Honor. Should I just start now?
Please.
Okay. I'm going to refer directly to the BTA decision because that's what's on appeal here. It's a very cursory decision. Basically, they seem to be saying that an appraisal is required of a residential property owner, although that has never been held. And the Board of Tax Appeals repeatedly cites the park investment cases for that proposition, which that isn't what the park investment cases were about, as I'm sure you know. So once a residential property owner doesn't produce an appraisal, then the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County, as it's always affirmed by the Board of Tax Appeals, immediately reverts to the fiscal officer's appraisal and then creates an unreachable ceiling as to the burden of proof on the taxpayer, which is completely wrong legally. The burden of proof on a taxpayer is no different than the burden of proof on anyone who files a complaint in a civil case. That's all a complaint against valuation is a complaint in a civil case. The burden on the complainant is, first of all, to present a prima facie case, and the elements of a prima facie case are well established in Ohio. State v. Tompkins on the criminal side is the standard for the Ohio Supreme Court on presenting a prima facie case. On the civil side, I've cited Possen versus ABC Motor Court. Prima facie case, basically the evidence produced by the complainant or the proponent is assumed to be true. Credibility is not at issue. It's assumed to be true. The Board of Tax Appeals does not seem to understand that elementary point of evidence law. That point of evidence law is in McCormick, it's in Wigmore, it's in Thayer. These are the great authorities on evidence law in the United States. They speak quite differently than does the Board of Tax Appeals. So when the complainant, Mr. Schutz, went before the Board of Revision and he stated his opinion that the value of his property on January 1st, 2012 was $40,000, the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County was required to believe him. Required by law to believe him. And then the only point was,
but
now
Mr.
we go.
Mr. Morton, yes. Aren't we, but at the, when you're before the Board of Revision or the Board of Tax Appeals, aren't you well past the pleading stage where these presumptions of truth would come into play?
You could say the same thing in any trial. In any trial, a prima facie case is the same thing. I mean, for example, a motion in the criminal side, a motion for acquittal is made after the prosecution presents its case. On the civil side, when the plaintiff presents his case, a motion for a directed verdict is presented by the other side. So it doesn't matter whether you're at the pleading stage or whether you're at the trial stage. Prima facie case is a prima facie case. the proponent's evidence is assumed to be true. And if it meets the elements, then the burden of production is met. The opponent of that value, of the $40,000 value, has to come forward, produce its evidence of the $104,000 value, which is what the fiscal officer assigned to the property. So it doesn't matter whether you're at trial or whether you're in the pleading stage. And then the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County, as affirmed by the Board of Tax Appeals always, is that somehow the fiscal officer has no burden whatsoever to justify his determination of value of the property, no matter how absurd it is. That valuation of $104,000 is absurd. This property was purchased 3 years earlier for $14,300. There is no way it appreciated between 2009 and 2012 to $104,000. It's common knowledge there was a recession during that period of time when real estate values plummeted or dropped, and in Cuyahoga County, they were worse because of the abundance of foreclosures in Cuyahoga County, right in Cleveland Heights, right where these properties are. Okay? That's the flaw in the fiscal officer's determination of value. His computer-assisted mass appraisal system is flawed. And the Board of Tax Appeals will not address that. And actually, I guess we're going to find out whether this court is going to address it, because it's up at this court on the Jacobovich case, which was argued 3 months ago, and it's going to be before the court on this case. Mr. Schutz testified that he purchased the property in January 2009, paid $14,300. That was the value that was assigned from 2009 to 2012 by the taxing authorities. Then all of a sudden, the fiscal officer comes up with his new appraisal system, and it's $104,000. That, as I repeat, that is absurd from a matter of reason and common sense. Reason in particular. And reason is something that the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County does not use. And reason is part of a property owner's right to due process of law. If a Board of Revision is not using reason to make its decisions, it's not affording due process of law.
Mr. Warren, my question is, what is your view of your client's burden in this case? What was your client's burden of proof as the complainant here?
My client met his burden of proof to make a prima facie case when he testified under oath, subject to cross-examination, that he paid $14,000 for that property in January of 2009, and he had made X number of improvements. And his testimony actually was those improvements weren't in place until late in 2012, until December 2012. He met his burden. First of all, he is qualified as a property owner to give his opinion of value.
And where in the record can you point to a place in the record where I can find an opinion of value that he gave?
He said $40,000. First of all, it's in the complaint.
Well, I understand that's in the complaint, but every complaint has a value request. So wouldn't it stand a reason that it needs to be something more than than what is in the complaint?
His testimony.
And where did he testify?
Well, where did he come up with the $40,000?
No, where in the record can you point to where he testified?
There's a 13-minute audio tape of the hearing. It's in there.
And you're saying in the BOR hearing he gave an opinion of value.
Yes, that's correct. Right. And he stated that the opinion was based on the purchase price, plus he had put $30,000 into the property. So that's where he came up with the $40,000. And he was actually being kind. I mean, at least he's being honest and truthful. That $30,000 he put into the property actually wasn't put in until December of 2012. So actually, the value as of January 1, 2012 was probably less than that. So at least Mr. Schutz is being reasonable and fair. It's in the hearing. It's in the hearing. 13 minutes on audio tape. That's how he came up with the value, the $14,000 plus the $30,000 that he put into it. And he states that right on the record. Now, the fiscal officer's determinations of value, as I stated before, are absurd. They were addressed by this court in the Schwartz and Ross decisions in August of 2015. Two properties on DeSoto were valued at $100-some thousand. And that area in Cleveland Heights, DeSoto, is right adjacent to this street, Berkeley. So the court's already dealt with the fiscal officer's valuation system in Cuyahoga County. And at least in those two cases, it found that those numbers were way off the mark. And there's no reason to think that the $104,000 is anywhere near the mark. And so that's what needs to be addressed by this court. These are issues of law. These are not issues of fact. The Board of Revision is not following the law. The Board of Revision does not know the law regarding the burden of proof. And so if this court does not correct them on the law, then no one is going to correct them. And people, the taxpayers in Cuyahoga County, the residential taxpayers, will continue to be ripped off by Cuyahoga County. These are not issues of fact. These are issues of law. Burden of proof, the effect of the evidence, if believed, what the conclusion is a legal question, use of reason. So these are not issues of fact. Now, Justice French incorrectly characterized these as issues of fact in her dissent in the Akron City Schools case. She was a lone dissenter on that case. Pfeiffer wrote the decision and got it right. This case, as several others of my cases, were held for more than a year by this court in its decision making until two new members were seated on the court. The two members got off the court, Lanzinger and then they were replaced by Lanzinger and Pfeiffer. And so I don't know whether Justice French is now considered to be the authority on tax law, and why the other new justices went along with her, but she is wrong in calling these issues a fact and deferring to the BTA when these are issues of law and no such deference is warranted. So I'm going to stop now and reserve the rest of my time, if I have any, for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Greenfield.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I am Mark Greenfield, Assistant Prosecuting Attorney for Cuyahoga County, Cuyahoga County Appellees I represent today, and I am urging this court to affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in finding value at $104,100 for the reasons, some of which are stated in the BTA opinion and some of which I will today discuss and try to only highlight the points from my brief. This case is about value, and the failure of the appellant to come forward with reliable and probative, credible and probative evidence of a value that is different than is found by the fiscal officer. They have tried it untrue, I would say, is what we have here. We've heard many appellants, taxpayers, complainants come forward with arguments that Board of Tax Appeals and this court have rejected as being either or neither reliable or probative. the value arguments made by the appellant pertaining to the sale in 2009, a sale that is more than approximately 36 months from the tax lien date of 1/1/12, under the Akron City case, a sale that is more than 24, sale that is reflected in the fiscal officer's records and is more than 24 months from the tax lien date at which an auditor or fiscal officer has a duty at law to undertake a sexennial appraisal and does and finds a value that's different, has no presumption of recency. In fact, at the Board of Revision, Mr. Schutz did testify about work that he undertook that changed the property, however, slightly, perhaps, some of which, according to what I heard on the BOR hearing audio, some of which was done and undertaken before the 1/1/12 date, even though some of which, clearly, according to the testimony of Mr. Schutz, was after. The only other evidence of any significance, at least by category, although not, again, reliable or probative, were a list of raw, unadjusted sales that were submitted by the taxpayer. There is a little bit of information about those sales, but Mr. Schutz, who as an owner of property is certainly allowed to testify about what he, give an opinion that can be considered credible as to the value of his property. The Boards of Tax Appeals, Boards of Revision, Boards of Tax Appeals, and certainly this court as well, are free to reject it as not being credible, or probative, excuse me, not being probative because he has not, not only not have the expertise to undertake an evaluation of the sales relative to the value of his own property, he doesn't undertake that comparison. He does not account for, even attempt to account for, differences in size, age, amenities, condition, and putting aside for a moment that we don't even know if these were arm's length sales, if they were sheriff sales, if they were related sales. There's no discussion or evidence in the record about that.
So is it your view that, or is it the county's view that Mr. Schutz did give an owner's opinion of value in this case?
No, only in the complaint. Only in the complaint. He, to your point, and as discussed previously, he put a value down on the line 8 of the complaint. Of course, he doesn't do that. We wouldn't be here. And but in the Board of Revision hearing, I don't recall him stating on the record a value.
And I get my previous question to counsel, I'm struggling with when does something qualify as an owner opinion of value that has evidentiary weight at all? And I guess I'd like your view on where that line is drawn, when it becomes an opinion of value and when it is something else.
As opposed to just facts thrown out?
Correct.
Or facts and arguments? Well, I think that it would require a statement of what the value is, as well as evidence that could be considered credible and probative, and to support it, for the owner to point to as to why and how he's reached the opinion. Here, with a sale that's not recent and raw, unadjusted sales, he doesn't make a genuine probative argument in support of that. The only other evidence that's out there, which the appellant does not, so I would say he has not reached that level. Still, even if he had, the court and the BTA would be right to reject it as not being probative. But the only other discussion on the record, and not something which they've pointed to with concern is the attempt at a sale 3 or 4 years earlier. Sales, of course, are not presumed to speak to actual value of the property, nor would be unaccepted offers. And then the repairs, the housing violations, which under current law, Throckmorton included, are not evidence of value, but without the taxpayer connecting the dots, something the taxpayer here has failed to do at every opportunity, doesn't speak again to why his value should be found to be accurate. The arguments that I just want to touch on briefly, and Mr. Morton touched on, CAMA. There was a lot of discussion about CAMA being flawed. It's a system that is mentioned in the Ohio Administrative Code. It's a plan in Cuyahoga County for 2012 that they submitted to the tax commissioner. The tax commissioner approved the plan. They later tested. This is on the record at the. I think this is on the record. In the record, certainly it was raised by Mr. Morton in his brief, and I want to point that out. Is now that I'm bringing myself back. Mr. Morton, appellant, raises for the first time an argument which I think is waived, and that is that the tax commissioner and the county have failed to undertake their responsibilities as to undertaking the sexennial appraisal. It's in the reply brief. It's not, and I think it was the only time it appears, it is not in their notice of appeal. The county is presumed to have done their job. There's testimony that they did. There's no testimony they didn't do their job. There is, at page 10 of the statutory transcript that was submitted to the BTA on the what would be considered the Sigma or the property card, a value that is put on the record for tax year 2012, showing it was last updated on December 9, 2013. The taxpayer attempts to does ask this court to consider testimony from another hearing. There's no reason for this court to consider that testimony because on a judicial notice basis, it's not in the record. It's nothing this court should consider, and it doesn't change the fact that even if you were to look at that evidence and testimony, that evidence and testimony is that the county did their job. They undertook the evaluation of the property for 2012, in accordance with the plan approved by the DTE, Department of Tax Equalization. And as a result of undertaking that plan, they came to a conclusion of value, $104,100, and the appellant has an issue with the outcome, not with the fact that, and truly, that they did it. So based on the evidence before this court, or perhaps the lack of evidence before this court, I'm asking that the Supreme Court affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals as being reliable and credible and reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morton, you have saved 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay. I think it's important to look at this whole tax situation at the macro level. The macro level is Article 12, Section 2 of the Ohio Constitution, the fundamental law on taxation of residential real property. It states a limit of a percent of the true value. That's the fundamental law in Ohio. Taxation is limited. And that's really all that needs to be said. The Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Revision, and maybe even the Supreme Court up until this point is ignoring that. But that's the fundamental law of real estate taxation. It is limited. And if the Supreme Court doesn't want to enforce...
I'm afraid I don't really understand your argument. Can you explain that to me?
Article 12, Section 2 of the Constitution, it limits the 10 mil limitation.
Yes.
That's the fundamental...
I'm familiar with the provision.
Okay.
I just don't understand your
argument.
That's
all you need. That is all you need to know, other than the fact that the fiscal officer is playing with true value. If you can play with the term true value, you are playing with the Constitution. I can't say anything more. That's all you really need to know. And the other point is taxing statutes have always been strictly construed in favor of the taxpayer. But that's not what's going on here. The taxpayer is put to a strict burden of proof. He's got all sorts of strict rules. And the fiscal officer gets a pass. Can't even be cross-examined, according to the Board of Revision and Board of Tax Appeals, which is absurd. A property owner has an absolute right to cross-examination of the fiscal officer, part of his right to due process. I think my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted, and you'll be advised of the court's decision.